This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Jason Adam with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So thanks to the Let's Talk Footy team for another great show. So welcome, Jason. How are you?
I'm well. I'm excited about the weekend ahead. Grand final day.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, who'd have thought?
Wouldn't have heard a thing about it.
Well, you probably don't care since Collingwood's not around anymore.
Well, how did Melbourne do?
Yeah, but we don't have a hope in hell.
Well, that's true, that's true. But look, moving on, tonight on the show we'll be chatting with Carlos Sepulveda from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre about the International AIDS Conference that was held in Washington recently that he went and attended, or was lucky enough to go and attend. Also doing the usual stuff, so covering some HIV news, some health news, plus a few news snippets and stuff like that.
That's right, but we do love to hear from our listener. So if they want to get a hold of us while we're in... While we're in the studio, you can just contact Jeanette. You can call Jeanette on 1-300-JOY-949, or you can email us directly in the studio at onair@joy.org.au. You can send us a text message, an SMS at 0427-JOY-949, or you can follow us in between shows on Facebook as well, and you can find out the details on joy.org.au.
It's very exciting.
It is very exciting.
So get in contact with us.
Please do.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
Oh, and if I had to break, I'd be cold as a stone and rich as a fool to turn all those good hearts away.
Good evening. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And who was that lovely track by?
That was Birdie. People Help the People.
Lovely song.
It's brilliant. I actually got onto Birdie a couple of weeks ago, and she's kind of like my new Adele. Hence, I've started breaking with tradition, and I played a Birdie song instead of an Adele song to start the show off with.
Oh, that's good.
There's Adele song coming up.
I know,
don't
but
worry.
You know. It's good that you're not so fixated.
Yeah, so what's been happening in the news this week, Jason?
Well, it's been another busy week in the news.
Mm-hmm.
But this week there was some research that was published out of Los Angeles, which identified that gay men can effectively and efficiently be recruited into research studies about HIV prevention through Grindr.
Ah, alas, tell me more, tell me more.
I know.
Did you get very far? See, I sung on radio for the first time. There you go.
You're a strange man when you're on the other side of the table.
Yes.
Now, essentially what they did was they sent out, they put an advert out on Grindr and determined who enrolled in the study through that method. And in total of the 46,400 Grindr users in LA, they determined that about 32,000 would have seen their ad. And they got 4.3% of those actually clicking through on the ad.
Well, I mean, that translates into like over 1,300 men. So that's a really good recruitment strategy in terms of getting people in. Because what was the project about?
It was about...
microbicides.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah, see, I'm just here to help.
Are you really?
No, not really.
But essentially what they ended up finding at the end of the study was that a total of 24% of their participants were actually recruited from Grindr. So out of all of the promotion, the promotional methods that they used to get people through to participate, a quarter of them came from Grindr.
Yeah, which is actually really interesting because, I mean, you know, everybody talks about Grindr and everyone's got a Grindr profile because it's on, you know, all different types of phones these days. So nobody's without Grindr. But I guess it's really surprising that, you know, if you do log on to Grindr, you do get those sort of updates that sort of come up before you, you know, checking out profiles or whatever. So it's very interesting that this type of recruitment strategy actually kind of worked and worked really well for them.
Well, what was interesting as well was that they were able to kind of compare, they were able to compare the sample that they recruited through Grindr to the average, I guess. And what they found was that it actually helped them recruit a younger sample. And a sample that was having more sexual partners. So those that were recruited through Grindr reported a mean of 9 anal sex partners in the previous year, compared to a mean of 6 partners for all the other men. So quite interesting that there's a bit of a change in the sexual behavior of the within the groups.
You mean a difference?
Yeah.
Not a change, a difference. Oh, you're a clever one, aren't you? And I guess, you know, I think this is probably extrapolated to other states and other cities besides LA, because even though there was such a large amount of men that were able to access Grindr, that I assume that the same sort of recruitment strategy into a study, especially something as important about microbicides, which is on the biomedical prevention stuff that's coming up in the future. So I think that's something that we should be sort of looking into and seeing how Grindr recruitment potentially works for different organisations in Victoria and in Melbourne. What do you think?
I think so. And I mean, there's another study that was done in LA as well that actually used research assistants engaging with people in conversations on Grindr in order to get them to participate in a research study.
Yeah.
Which saw really good outcomes as well. And similarly, vast differences between the population that they recruited through Grindr and elsewhere. So, fascinating stuff.
Fantastic. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And tonight in the studio, we have a very, very welcome guest in Carlos Sepulveda, who works for the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So, good evening, Carlos, and welcome.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Look, many of the... Yes, Jason? No?
No.
Many of the Well, Well, Well listeners may recognise you as you've been on the show before, and you've also co-hosted the show. But for anyone out there who doesn't know who you are, could you just tell them a little bit about who you are and what role you play at VAC?
What role? Okay. I work for VAC, of course. I've been in charge of the SAM project for already about 3 years. Now, the SAM project, to explain the SAM project, I will have to explain what we understand for SAM, or sexual adventurous men.
Aha, I was not familiar. Well, I'm very familiar with that acronym, but I just thought, you know.
Okay, sexual adventurous men is actually the group of men with multiple sexual partners that might be into some esoteric practices, sexual practices.
What does that mean?
That means into feasting, water sports, sounding, and other kind of practices that are
not classified
there
as your vanilla.
Varied, and some might classify as a lot of fun. So it's this group of guys that will have group sex and might have a history with recreational drug use.
Mm-hmm.
So my job is actually to approach the community and make it easier to work with VAC, Victorian AIDS Council, Gays Men Health Centre, and People Living with HIV AIDS Victoria. It's a joint project.
Ah, okay. So it's the two organisations working together with sexually adventurous men.
Indeed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you do the work with the sexually adventurous men?
We actually approach organised social groups such as Vic Bears, for example. It's one of the groups that we work a lot with. And right now that it's already formed and out there, Vic Leather, we're starting to organize with them workshops and our participation in different events. We organize with different people that have private sex parties to provide them with different goodies that they might need for the night. So
is it you sort of telling them what we can provide, or is it them sort of telling you what they want?
No, the approach is actually they will tell us what they need, and based on that, we will assist however we can.
Okay.
And that applies to absolutely everything we do. Like, every intervention on every thing that comes from the project, it's because we had feedback from the community.
Now, you mentioned before that you do some work with Vic Behrs.
Yes.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that I've that organization has identified that they wanted and has become a reality as a result of that project?
In these 3 years, we started with Vic Behrs increasing our participation on Southern Hibernation. Now, at the beginning, we created some posters. That was the start. And I think from the beginning, it was more our input than theirs. Now, things have changed enormously. They have taken over, which is what actually we want and we desire from this project. It's sexual adventurous men actually taking their own initiatives and making their own ideas work for them. And they took over. They're doing their own ideas into posters, and they're telling us how they want us to participate. We're just supporting a social group.
Ah, so it's community engagement with the, I guess, with the end result of community empowerment, where they sort of take over what they want to do and what they want us to sort of help provide them with.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, fantastic. Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, that was Kelly Clarkson, Stronger, which I love. Anywho, but we're chatting with Carla Sepulveda from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, who works in the Sexually Adventurous Men Project, about the International AIDS Conference. And if you think that's a mouthful, it is. So, Jason?
Before the break, you were talking about some of the things that you've been involved in with the SAM project.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's kind of happening in the project at the moment?
Okay, as now in the project, as I said before, we're working with Vic Leather, and we're organizing some workshops to do with different sexual practices and the leather as, depending on how you understand it, a way of life or a fetish. We're working on that. We're working with Vic Behrs to actually define what we're going to do in next Southern Hibernation. We're looking to have more of a presence and get a better use of media for the campaign that we do every year with Vic Behrs. Mm-hmm. In terms of parties, we have Wolf Club coming on November. Well, the parties that we're involved with. Wolf Club coming on November the 4th. We have Black Ball, which is going to be the first dance party that Vic Leather is organizing here in Melbourne.
I was going to say, I hadn't heard of that one before. So.
Yeah, it's a new one, and it's promising to be a really good party. So there's going to be a lot of pretty lights. that's happening on November the 10th. And Barracuda, it's coming again to Melbourne. Well, Barracuda, it's an international party. They've been here once, and it's coming again in November the 9th. So that's going to be a busy weekend. Now, we're organizing, we have updated Down and Dirty, which was a website that we launched in October. We did evaluation on it, and we've updated the website with all the feedback that we got from the evaluation.
So what's actually on the Down and Dirty website, just for people that haven't heard of it before, or if they're going to check it out, what information might they come across?
All right. If you're going to check it out, go to downanddirty.org, and you will find information about different sexual practices and recreational drug use for sex purposes.
Okay.
You can actually interact with doctors, ask any questions that you want about, once again, different sexual practices or anything you want, in fact. And we'll try to answer the best we can.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Down and Dirty is. In terms of entertainment, we have some videos that are displayed in Down and Dirty. At the moment, we have done 4 videos.
Okay.
And it's different stories about guys from Melbourne and how they actually negotiate sex, how they come around about having sex, relationships, and negotiating safety, basically. We are recruiting at the moment to do new videos.
Okay.
So we're looking for 4 new guys.
Ah, so these stories are not just, mockumentaries where it's fake people with a real story. It's the real people with their real stories.
It is real people. And what came from the evaluation is that because it's real people, it's people that you see out and about at parties, at pubs, and you know them already, the stories are much more interesting and are very fluid, are very natural, and none of these stories have been scripted, which makes it all go. So, yeah.
Very interesting. So there's currently how many stories up on the website for people to check out?
There are 4 stories that we have done, mm-hmm. and there's 1 video of a participant that he put up.
Cool. What are some of the things that the stories kind of go through? Can you give us a bit of a taste?
Look, one of the most, controversial one was a couple, actually, that said that they were committed but open. Some people didn't agree with those terms put in the same sentence. Mm-hmm. So relationships, look, it's a difficult thing, and open relationships don't work for everyone. And my point of view is, yes, you can have an open relationship and still be committed.
Well, exactly. And I mean, I think this video is sort of testimony to exactly how it can work and why it does work. And I think if both people are involved and they both have the same agreements and they both adhere to the same agreements and the same rules within the relationship, then there's no reason why it can't work. Obviously, it's not for everyone, like you said, but, you know, it can work.
Yeah.
Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting with Carlos Sepulveda from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So, Carlos, obviously we've got you on the program to talk about the International AIDS Conference. So, previously we've been talking about the Sexually Adventurous Men project that you work on. So, in relation to the International AIDS Conference, can you tell us a little bit about what it is? So, when was it held? Where was it?
Yeah. Well, I'll start by saying that the International AIDS Conference, it's massive. Before we went to the conference, it was in Washington, and it was held in July 2012. There was around 12 people from Melbourne, from different organizations that went to the conference. We actually organized ourselves to kind of cover all aspects of the conference. As I said, it's massive. The part that I was kind of going to look after was the Global Village.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the conference, it's international, and it brings all the aspects of scientific and social research, technological advances, and services to POWHA people around the world, and different prevention strategies that are used around the world. So it's all in one massive space. Did I say massive?
Yeah.
It is massive. So there's a lot to see, and there's very little time. Even though it goes for a week, I wish I could have gone to a lot of stuff that I couldn't. So that's basically what the conference is about. Now, the Global Village, it's actually where the community meets the researchers and meets the people that are delivering different strategies. And it's a space where different groups, minority groups, and people living with HIV can network, socialize, and interact, mm-hmm. basically. The Global Village has sessions, has networking zones, which it depends on the different social groups. Like, you have a GLBTI networking zone, MSM, or men who have sex with men, networking zone, people living with HIV, networking zone. many networking zones. You have a youth youth networking zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's booths, commercial booths, and non-commercial booths, like different social organizations. You have art exhibitions all around the place. You have video screenings. They had actually like a one-day...
like a film festival?
Film festival. It's plenty to do. Performances, live performances, all time of the day. So there is quite a lot
and
happening.
What's the main objective of the Global Village? Like, there's so many different things going on from so many different perspectives. Is it to sort of just get an understanding of everything that's going on, or is it just a more interactive way of engaging with information?
For me, it's the best way to actually translate what's happening in the real conference, like in the plenaries of the conference,
mm-hmm.
into the community. It's actually delivering all that information in a way or in different ways that the community might get engaged with.
Because it's actually funny to comparing what the Global Village is like compared to the Exhibitor Hall, which is very commercialized.
Yes.
And you know, high level global organizations, whereas the community is the Global Village is very community feeling.
Yeah.
You need to be a delegate in order to go into the Exhibitor Hall, but the Global Village, anyone from the town that's hosting the conference can go in and access it as well. So it's a great way of kind of making it relevant, and so that the host city actually benefits as well.
Yeah. The only time that I went out of the Global Village was to get some koalas so I can meet more people. But, because I was giving them away. It's a great space. And in the performances, there's so many people from the community doing, whether it's dances, DJs, monologues, theater pieces, different things. And I think that's an opportunity because a conference will happen here in Melbourne in 2014.
Ah,
we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I wait for that then.
It's very exciting news.
It is.
Well, this is well on Joy 94.9. This is well on Joy 94.9. And that was Adele Turning Tables. I was just listening to applause and Jason made me cut it off quickly, and that's why it wasn't straight onto the microphones.
It's always my fault.
It is always your fault. And as I said to other colleagues here, I said, Jason is sometimes more than unhelpful.
I learned from the best, Adam.
Well, that's true.
I'm loving the dynamic here.
It's a beautiful space.
It's excellent.
It's really empowering.
I haven't been in the radio for a long time, and I have to say, I love the dynamic happening here. Quite good. I like it. Yeah.
Well, Carlos, before the break, we were chatting about the International AIDS Conference, which was held in Washington in July. And how you were focused primarily around checking out the Global Village while you were there.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you took away from the conference experience, what your maybe top things were when you left DC?
Look, what I take away is that as much as I wanted to, I cannot be in different places at the same time. as much as I want to. But look, I think for 2014 in Melbourne, when it happens in Melbourne, the Global Village, as I was saying before, there's a lot of opportunities for the general community and different social groups and even business from the GLBTI community to actually get involved and, you know, participate. How is not very clear at the moment. I know the process, having talked with the coordinator, which he was really cute. It takes like around a year, a whole year, for the whole process to you know, the selection and all that kind of stuff. So it's not very clear at the moment how is it going to be, but it's good for general community and organizations to start thinking about how we can participate. And I'm thinking, because of my work relationship, for example, with Big Bears, they have done a play, which is Men with Boobs, which was excellent. I would love to see something like that happening at the Global Village. Now, we do not decide who is participating and who is not, but it's good to start thinking about how we actually can engage.
Yeah, different ways to pitch.
Yeah, and for my project in particular, the SAM project, or for our project, there is lots of plans and, you know, good surprises prepared. Hopefully that we can include in the Global Village.
And having having attended these conferences as well before, the community will be well aware that the conference is on once it's on here in Melbourne, because when you throw 25,000 people...
25,000.
25,000. Yeah.
I think it's the largest health conference in the world.
You would want to hope so.
It is
a small town.
Massive. Mm. So everything... Yeah, there's quite a buzz in the town when the conference is on. So you'll know it. But hopefully you'll have an opportunity in the lead up to get involved, whether as a volunteer or as a participant.
Yep.
Who knows? If not, it just come down to the Global Village.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Well, Carlos, we've absolutely had a delightful time with you on, but unfortunately we must say goodbye. So see ya. That was great. Moving on. No, it was fantastic. Look, if you're interested in, I guess, finding out more information about the Sexually Adventurous Men Project, you can check out vicaids.asn.au and find out information there, or you can go to downanddirty.org. So it's downanddirty.org, and you can check out the actual website and get in contact with Carlos directly if you like, or also just search for the International Aid Conference Melbourne 2014 to find out exactly how you can be involved and potentially be involved further on. So Carlos, thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me here.
No worries. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and Jason and Adam with you tonight.
Indeed, from the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and that was the ever-so-lovely Pink with Where Did the Beat Go from her new album, The Truth About Love.
I know, it's awesome.
It's very cool.
I really like it.
You like it?
I do like it.
Excellent. Well,
I like it a lot.
You got a couple of new albums recently, and the next track that we're going to be shutting.
And a lovely new poster.
I know. You're such a teeny bopper.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that track later. It's a bit of a surprise for the listener.
Yes.
But it is that time of the show where we like to talk about some things happening in and around the community, some workshops, some websites, to kind of keep you hopefully healthy.
Mm, so what's first cab off the rank?
First cab off the rank is all about something happening in about 2 months' time. Mm-hmm. And that is World AIDS Day.
Aha.
Hard to believe it's almost time again.
I know, it's flown by.
Preparations are going down.
They are.
In
a good way.
In a very good way, yes.
In a youth kind of going down way.
Yeah.
These are happening.
They're happening. If you want to find out what's going to be going on in the lead up to World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, you can keep up to date by liking the Facebook page. And you can find that at facebook.com/WAD Victoria. That's WAD for World AIDS Day, Victoria. Great way to keep up to date with the events, any opportunities to get involved, to volunteer, where you can find World AIDS Day resources. Mm. Lots of things.
I know, because there's a few little interesting new things that are happening this year for World AIDS Day that I've heard around the water cooler at work. So.
And it's also December 1st is a Saturday.
I know.
So it changes things up a little bit, and I think it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Of course, there will also be the candlelight vigil,
mm-hmm.
which happens every year at that time as well. So if you want to keep up to date on all of that, you can just go to facebook.com/WAD Victoria.
And I guess last week, if you listeners were out there listening last week, we spoke to Dr. Grant O'Sullivan and Dr. Caroline Simmons in relation to a survey about queer youth and homophobia in relation to sport. And it's the Equal Play Survey, and it's now live.
Hooray!
Woohoo! So they're looking for people who are aged 14 to 23 years of age to fill out a survey or an online survey about their experiences in sport and homophobia. And now I think it's fantastic that they're going from 14 to 23, which covers a broad range of physical sport activities, including those that you have to do at school, those you can do outside of school, and obviously when you get to 23 and you're not in school anymore, it's up to you how physically active you can be.
But also kind of it's a great range in age, because the duration of involvement in sport will be quite different potentially, and in an individual it's awareness of their own sexuality will likely be quite different from 14 to 23. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what results come from that study.
Yeah, so if you're interested in filling out the survey, check out facebook.com/equalplay and you have yourself the possibility of winning. And what can they win, Jason?
An iPad 2.
Oh, I'm just too old to win that now. I don't do any physical activity. So moving on. So another thing that I think is really important in our community is obviously going and seeing your doctor. So I think it's very important that we mention that the Centre Clinic is now taking on new clients, and it's a community health service for people living with HIV and the broader GLBT community, but open to all, really. Services include bulk billed health and medical care for the entire GLBTI community.
Which is hard to find.
Very much so. Antiretroviral treatment and advice, medical consultations on sexual health, general health, emotional and psychological health, sexually transmitted infection diagnosis and treatment, HIV testing and counselling, hepatitis testing and vaccinations, purchase of condoms and lubricants. I mean, oh, bless you. Like, even though you press the cough button, we could all hear that.
Thank you.
So, look, if you're interested to book an appointment with the Centre Clinic, because it's a fantastic service, and if you don't have a GP doctor that you have trust in, or you don't have a good dialogue of communication or a relationship where you can feel comfortable discussing the issues that you need to in relation to sexual health, then to book an appointment, ring 9525 5866, or check out vicaids.asn.au for more information on the Centre Clinic.
And there are male and female doctors at the clinic as well.
Yay, love that.
Now, I was actually up in Sydney earlier this week all about this study.
I know,
study.
Like, if there could just be one week where Jason actually stays in Melbourne, I would fall off my chair.
Just take your annual leave.
Oh, I know.
But I was up there for a steering committee about this one study in particular, and it's called Opposites Attract. And it's a study that looks to examine a range of important questions relating to HIV risk within couples where one partner is HIV positive and the other is HIV negative. Mm-hmm. As we've talked about many, many times on the show, there's quite a few questions around the impact that blood viral load has on transmission.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of research around what impact that has in heterosexual relationships, but there's a paucity of data around the impact that it has among same-sex male relationships.
Yes.
So this study is hoping to answer a lot of those questions, and also look at, you know, what impact some of these results have on people's discussions around sexual practices, and much, much more, really. So if you are in a serodiscordant relationship, or a relationship where one partner is positive and the other is negative, do check out their website. It's oppositesattract.net.au. That's oppositesattract.net.au. And they're looking to recruit pairs of men who are currently in a relationship. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a long-term
relationship,
but it's basically someone that you're having sex with regularly. So it can be a buddy of sorts.
And I was listening to Hide and Seek a couple of weeks ago, and they had someone on who was talking about the Opposites Attract study. And interestingly, it was with one partner. So obviously people can have a multitude of partners.
Yep.
But the study itself was actually only looking at the direct relationship between two people. So even though that relationship might not be defined as your permanent relationship, it could be a fuck buddy, or it could be someone else who's a casual partner. or someone along those lines.
Exactly. And, you know, if you do have multiple partners, you've got to pick one.
Well, exactly. But, Jason, do you know what time it is?
8:56.
Yeah, well, let's look a little bit beyond that to the context and say that's the end of the show.
There we go.
Like, it's been an absolute delight. And if you didn't notice, I panel tonight, so...
Well done.
Thank you.
I particularly love the additional music while we were talking earlier.
Yeah, I know. I didn't really realise where that was coming from for a few seconds. But look, coming up next is Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew. So anyone you'd like to say hello to, Jason?
Big hello to Tex. He'll be back next week.
Yes, yes.
Very exciting.
Back, Tex. And I'd like to say hi to me mum.
Oh, your mum. Hi, mum.
Hi, mum. So this is Well on Joy 94.9, and we'll check you.
Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.